Hey everybody, it's the Friday Goots Cast. I'm here with Andrew Debro. It's the 13th of March. We're here with SmackDown 205 Live at NXT UK. Andrew Debro, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Better than Andrade. That's for sure.
Andrade asked for his release and they went, go fuck yourself. So,
dude, they're so stupid. They're so stupid. He's the one guy I would have like treated very well.
Yeah,
because supposedly, you know, he's like good friends with all these luchadors, and he just badmouthed them to all his buddies, like Rush and Dragon Lee. They were interested in those guys, and they were interested in going, and they're good friends with Andrade because they started this, you know, Los Ingobernables. And he supposedly he's been telling them, don't come here. They're so stupid, dude.
Well,
WWE, they're just dumb.
That, yeah, I don't think they care. But I don't think they give a shit about it. It's not WWE. It's Vince McMahon. Like, I think it's very clear that the only reason I think it's very clear that Dakota, that Triple H had it in agreement months ago that Dakota Kai and Raquel Colon were going to win the women's tag belts, and then Vince reneged. And that's why they had to create their own tag belts. Like, the cool thing about the WWE tag belts was that it could go to any brand. So conceivably, you could see the champions on NXT UK, and they could lose the belts on NXT UK. Now it's like, is every brand going to have a women's tag belts? There's hard, you know what I'm saying?
What do you call it? Yeah. And by the way, when I say day, I basically mean junior. He's the only junior.
I think Triple H had it because what was the point of that tournament just to have these women lose?
Yeah, I think I think he was just like, if you're not gonna do it, can we
at least? He's like, I need to have Reginald.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think he was just like, dude, if we can't even have these titles, then like can we have our own titles? Like, you know, it's stupid. Yeah. By the way, those tag team titles look good. In my opinion, I think they look good.
Yeah, they look interesting. So.
Yeah, they do.
All right, so let's talk about SmackDown.
Yeah, because was there any other news besides that?
Not really. I mean, nothing unimportant.
Nothing unimportant, right?
We'll probably think of it while we're doing this. So.
Okay. Show starts off not with Roman Reigns for a change, but with Edge. And Edge comes and starts cutting a promo on Roman Reigns and then Daniel Bryan, and he starts going like, I wrestled 7 days a week, twice on Sundays, for 4 decades. And I was like, wait, did he really?
I don't know.
That's like, maybe bullshit. He did. I was like, is he exaggerating? I thought he was trying to like.
Maybe when he was in the Indies, but I can't see him in WWE. What was he wrestling like?
And he was like, through 4 decades. So that's 90s.
Daniel Bryan?
No.
Edge
was saying that he wrestled 7 days a week.
I could see that maybe in the 90s, early 2000s. I don't know about. But he did wrestle in 4 decades. He did 90s, 2000s, the 2010s. He wrestled for 2 years in those decades. And then the 2020s. He already wrestled in 2020. So, yeah, it's 4 decades.
Yeah, I guess he's right, yeah. Yeah, he wrestled through 4 decades. And he said he wrestled 7 days a week, twice on Sundays. Did WB have 2 shows on Sundays? I guess they did.
Maybe he wrestled like two. I don't know. Maybe he wrestled the Sunday Heat twice when we weren't paying attention.
Twice. Yeah, maybe he did. Daniel Bryan comes out and then he goes, this may be my last WrestleMania. I'm just trying to get in. And Edge goes like, well, you're not better than me. Okay. And then they walk away. Daniel Bryan might be his last WrestleMania this year.
We'll be talking about him in 10 years.
Yeah.
None of these guys retire. I'm convinced none of these guys retire.
No. None of these guys retire. In fact, Undertaker will probably be wrestling in a match.
Undertaker's going to have another match. 100%.
What?
Undertaker's having another match. 100%.
Oh, yeah. Who do you think it will be? Like somebody we don't know at all, or somebody who could request their retirement match with Undertaker? And he went to because of that respect.
No, I think it's going to be
Andrade.
I could see it being Braun Strowman.
That sounds
or the Fiend.
I could see it being a theme. Yeah. All right, so first matchup. Street Profits teaming up with the Mysterios versus Alpha Academy and the Dirty Dogs. This is like everybody, a match where everybody's hitting their greatest hits. The match ends with Montez Ford hitting that rotating from the heavens frog splash on Bobby Roode for the win. I like this match. I know it's just a TV match, but I liked it.
I liked what the Street Profits were doing. I fucking hated that Otis was teaming Dolph Ziggler. Dude, last year, these two had such an interesting storyline with the Mandy Rose, with the Mandy Rose shit, and now they're just teaming. Like Otis. Otis is just okay with it now. Like, dude, they have. I'm not saying Otis could be like Stone Cold Steve Austin, but there's definitely money on the table with Otis, and they've completely ruined it. And I don't blame Otis. They have completely ruined whatever they could get out of Otis. I don't understand. Like, I'm not saying like you need to make him the star of the show, but why is he a heel? Who the
once
fuck?
Once again, Day is Junior. It's Junior. Yeah.
Who
I
thought?
Don't, I don't know why he's a heel. I don't know.
He's horrible at it. He's like Johnny Gargano. It's like he's fucking awful at this. Like just keep him as a good guy. Like, so I like the match, but like every time Otis got in the ring, I'm like, this is fucking horrible. Like, you're like, just fire this fucking guy. Let him go to like Impact and be Johnny Swinger's bodyguard. Like, just fucking get rid of him. Like, you know, they're not gonna get rid of him though. This is what they're gonna do. They're gonna set, because like I think if Otis went to AEW or Impact and they, or even Ring of Honor and the or New Japan. And they use them right, he could become better than ever. They're gonna fucking just, like, this is what they're gonna do. Like, they're gonna fucking keep him there and like turn him into completely valueless so that when he leaves, no one's gonna want to even sign it.
Yes. And if you guys don't think that's gonna happen, I mean, look how many people they have on their roster that's not even on TV shows. Andrade, Aleister Black, Tucker Knight, these guys. They're not even on TV.
Like, no. They're literally paying them to waste their good years. And that's insane to me. Because I think they're so afraid of someone like Andrade or Aleister Black or Otis becoming. Because see, if I'm Tony Khan, I would rather have Otis and Andrade on my show than Christian or fucking Big Show. But I think they're terrified that. But this is, here's two things. I'll say these two things. They're terrified of Otis or Andrade becoming like The Rock or anyone that they think might have a slight bit of potential becoming a huge star for Tony Khan or Impact. But here's where I'm like, you guys, this is where if I'm Tony Khan, I'm a little confident. I'll tell you this. I don't think Tony Khan, if Otis is going to become like a huge star, it's not Tony Khan or fucking Scott D'Amore is not going to tap into it. But what might happen, like what happened with Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, they're going to go away, become better workers, you bring them in, and now Otis can be your world champion or star of your show, or Andrade or Ricochet or Keith Lee. You know, they go away. You know, so like, I don't think Tony Khan is smart enough, if he did get like Ricochet or Andrade, to flip the switch and make them the star of the show. They're going to be on Dark.
Probably. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
But they're going to become better workers. Then when you get them back, you can make them, you have something to really work with. Like Drew McIntyre.
They just sign people just so that nobody else gets them.
Yeah, I think even when they signed Drew McIntyre in 2017, they were like, he's getting too over. Let's just sign him. And then they wound up liking him again. But I think they had no intention of.
Yeah, like that's why they signed up all these young indie guys like recently. They signed them all up because they were like, if one of these guys happens to be like the next like future guy, like MJF, like we don't want that to happen. We are just gonna sign
them up. Yeah, I think they'd rather have MJF on Superstars getting beat up by like fucking Retribution than being over on fucking AEW. But here's the crazy part: if MJF and Tony Khan are falling out and you sign him, he's gonna be your biggest star. And you can make a ton of money off him. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, but they almost don't even want that, which is weird to me.
No, I know. But here's the thing. They have all this money that they can do whatever they want. Like, I just, you know, it's like they have FU money, you know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I loved when the Street Profits were in the ring. I would have liked this match better if Otis and Chad Gable weren't in it.
But everybody in this match was doing, I thought, wrestling very well.
Yeah, it was a great match. This was definitely the best match of SmackDown.
Yeah, for Rey Mysterio, for his age, was like the fastest one in this match. I couldn't believe how fast.
Well, fucking, what's his name? Montez Ford was doing some crazy fucking moves.
Oh my god, did you see that apron bump he took? Looked great.
And then he did like he like avoided a move by jumping in the air. He's like doing Spider-Man shit, bro.
I used to think, and I still kind of have hope for this. I think Bianca Belair and Montez Ford, both of them, have what it takes to become like
I think
crossover stars.
I think that's Montez Ford. I think post WrestleMania, they should do whatever it takes to make Montez Ford the next guy. He's the next guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You can't deny his promo work is fucking horrendous. He's very annoying. You need to do work on that because he's fucking annoying as fuck. Yeah. But in the ring, he's fucking and I really want to see what else he could do. Like if you give him a real push.
Yeah, and he's charismatic. He's just naturally charismatic. I think he could be the next huge big guy if they really, really push him right. By the way, Dominic Mysterio was great in this match too. I thought he did this crazy, like cool, like springboard outside thing. I was like, he was good.
Everyone was good. This was a good match, bro. Andrew Lee. Yes,
I agree. Even though there's like nothing happening in the storyline.
No, well, I think it's gonna be Street Profits versus Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah. Then they say they show that Molly Holly was the first inductee into the 2021 Hall of Fame. No Hall of Fame video package though.
I think the 2021 class is just gonna be like, I hate to say this about Molly Holly, but the scrubs they missed out on the past few years. Like I wouldn't be surprised like Brian Pillman gets in, Eric Bischoff, like people that like they're like we gotta get in anyway, so let's just get them in this year. Because they still have to induct the 2020 people.
Yeah. I don't think Molly Holly's a scrub, though.
To them, she's a scrub.
You think she's a scrub? I don't consider her a scrub.
I don't know. No. To them.
Oh. Then they show Jey Uso coming in to try to talk to Roman Reigns. Heyman says he's still mad at just come back later. And he goes, okay. Then we get Seth Rollins. He starts talking about Cesaro and how they're going to have a match with Murphy again. Then comes probably the worst part. No, second worst part of the show. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler take Reg Thomas out shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this shopping segment?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
It was bad. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was pretty fucking bad.
What are you doing?
The fucking wire I bought. This laptop stopped charging. And I got a new wire. It won't stay in. I got to fucking do something with it.
We go to match number two. They say it's a rematch from last week. It's Murphy versus Cesaro. I do not even remember this match from last week. Like,
I do.
So bad. I didn't even remember this match.
Here's the other thing, too. This is the problem. This is a problem, too. Murphy's back with Seth Rollins.
Yeah. So what
was the point? And I'm not saying he needs to stay with the Mysterios. But what the fuck was the point? See, this is the problem. These characters have these story arcs, whether it's Buddy Murphy or Otis. And then like when it's inconvenient for them, like it doesn't matter. Otis and Dolph Ziggler are friends now. Oh, it doesn't matter. Like, then what does anything matter? Like, you're just telling me like nobody matters but like five guys.
That's their MO though. They just drop storylines like nothing.
Like, but it's like
no resolution.
I know, but you did so much with Murphy and Seth Rollins for a fucking year.
Of course.
And now they're just back as friends?
Yeah. He was dating Rey Mysterio's daughter. She just disappeared. They fucking family matters are out of here. And then he's just back with Seth. It's like the whole year was they were like they just restarted.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they were like they went back to
this they're is just the same like, but he stood up to Seth. He like, yeah. He beat Seth. He beat Seth in a match to prove he's better than him. And then it'd be one thing if like Seth beat him, and then but he beat Seth. He's proved that he doesn't need Seth. He's like, I guess I do.
Yeah,
but that to me is like, so then why? But you're telling the audience, don't even fucking watch this show. Like, don't even.
Of course. Murphy's back in the same storyline he was in. at this time last year.
Yeah.
Just on
but
a
now
different
he looks
brand.
Like a bigger idiot.
Yeah, and just on a different brand. It's mm-hmm. like the stupidest dude. It's so stupid.
Dude, just put him back on 205 Live. This is what you're going to do.
Someone could have been in a coma like last year at this time, mm-hmm. like March last year, got in a coma for a whole year, woke up and be like, oh, they moved these guys to SmackDown, the storyline. Like, they missed nothing. Anyway, this match was stupid. Ended a DQ because Seth beats up Cesaro and then he goes in the back and he has a face-off with Nakamura. So I'm assuming it's just Murphy and Seth versus Cesaro and Nakamura soon.
I think they're trying to delay. They want to wait. They want to keep Cesaro and Seth for Mania, which I think is a good move. Nakamura, I guess. I could see Nakamura and Seth at Fastlane to set up.
Or... Yeah, yeah. Or they might do a tag team match.
Or maybe Nakamura fights Seth next week on SmackDown. We'll see.
Yeah. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn talking. Kevin Owens might be a part of Sami Zayn's documentary. Edge talks with Jey Uso, and Jey Uso is like, I don't take advice from a white man. And then he leaves and doesn't take advice from Edge. Then we get, in my opinion, the worst part of the show. Kevin Owens' show. Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. The more these guys talk, the less I want to see them wrestle each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I no longer want to watch them wrestle at WrestleMania. I'm dreading it, in fact.
No, Bianca Belair is not bad at talking. It's Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Like, every now and then, she'll be like, ha 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 ha! Like, she'll, like, fucking overact out of nowhere. You're like, what the fuck? Dude. Sasha Banks is hot. Did you see her? Well, although it was funny. This is the other thing about her. Did you see her when the belt fell off?
No.
Oh, you didn't see it? So she's on the ramp. She does her sexy fucking lap dance or something on the middle of the scene. You know how she does that to the
boom? Yeah. Yeah.
And the belt falls off and she grabs it and she makes a face. Like she makes a smile like, oops. And then she automatically has like this pissed off look. And I'm like, bro, sell it more like you meant to do that. Like, you look pissed that, like, you know, your sexy moment looked stupid. But, dude, her promo, Sasha Banks, was fucking terrible.
Sasha Banks is proving exactly why they did not think she was the one. Like, she's proving their original decision about her. Like right,
like she's so is she bad. And like we're she's supposed to be a good guy, but she's like ha ha ha. She's like acting like a fucking lunatic.
Are you sure she's supposed to be a good guy? I don't think she's supposed.
Yeah, because supposed to feel bad for her about Reginald. We're supposed to feel bad for her, even though she treated Reginald
like a heel.
I don't know. I have no.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I couldn't even tell you guys what there was about. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler come out with Reg, and then it's going to go to match number 3. Tamina. Who's out with her new look. I like her. I like Tamina's new look with the braids and all that. Tamina and Natalya versus Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. There's this nonsense with Reg going in the ring and stuff like that, which allows Tamina to roll up with distracted Belair. And then even after commercial break, Sasha Banks and Belair just arguing about Reginald. I can't believe these guys are going to have a championship match at WrestleMania and the argument and the feud is because of Reginald. Like, it's just like the dumbest thing in the world. It's such a simple storyline they could do, you know, like, but it's like, we're fighting because of Reg Thomas.
Well, it could, like, this thing could work if, like, Sasha, I don't know, because Sasha, am I supposed to think, like, Sasha's into Reginald or.
I don't know. I think, dude.
Like, is she supposed to be like, I'm hitting him and telling him to go fuck himself, but I don't mean it. Like, I like him. Like, I don't understand, like, what they're going for. I do think, dude, I think this whole thing is so Sasha will leave her husband. I don't think Vince likes the fact that she's married to that guy.
I don't think he likes Sasha Banks, period.
No, I think he does. I think he wants to change her.
I think they keep her around because the same thing, they don't want anyone else to happen.
No, but she's like, she's dude, she's been focused on for a year. If they didn't like her, they wouldn't focus on her. Dude, if they didn't like her, there's ways to treat people. Look at how they're treating Asuka. Vince doesn't like Asuka.
Yeah, that's true too. He don't like
yeah. Asuka. Dude, I think maybe he doesn't see her as Becky Lynch. Okay, I'll say this. I think Vince probably wants to have sex with her. I mean, he can't do it now anymore, but I think he does. I think he definitely sees sex appeal in her, but I don't think he likes the fact she's with that guy.
That's possible.
Yeah. It's like he didn't like Lana being with Rusev, and he doesn't like Rhea Ripley with the other guy. I really do think if you're a woman, it's a, like Becky, like I think he thinks Becky is like a worthy person because she's with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I could see him being just like super ridiculous on who he picks as his people.
Like, well, like I think also like with Sable, the reason like they leave Sable alone is she's with Brock, so he respects that. He didn't respect Mark Merrill, he respects Brock. And I think if you're with someone he doesn't respect, or he thinks, if you're a woman, this is, or even if you're a man, if you punch a below, like if fucking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he has like these ridiculous reasons for people. He doesn't like, I don't think Junior picks people to be like, you're going to be like our top star based on like their ability. It's more like, I saw him wearing red shoes. He is the one, like, you know.
Well, he didn't realize, like, Shawn Michaels, he didn't want to push Shawn Michaels until 1995.
He didn't want to push John Cena either.
And then he fell in love with Shawn Michaels to the point where it was very, I always thought, and this is how I thought this since I was a kid, that he developed a fucking insane crush on Shawn Michaels in 1995-96. Because I felt weird watching 96 wrestling when Shawn Michaels walked out. I felt like I'm watching like some weird fucking thing. Because he was really dressed like a stripper. Vince was like ejaculating. Go listen to Vince's commentary about Shawn Michaels in 96. It sounds like he's in love with him.
No, I think that was just more of an act. I think
Vince has gay feelings for some guys.
Yeah, I mean, can't believe everything you read on the internet, but
I'm not saying everything I read on the internet. I'm saying what I hear in his voice on live TV, dude. I'm not saying Bruce Pritchard had a great line. He said one time someone said, I wish I loved anything as much as Vince McMahon loved Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Big E comes out next. I think he's got new music. And
no, it's the same music for the past few weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, man, you talk about somebody who's bad at promos. Jeez. Biggie's just as bad. I felt like he was making different voices while he was doing the promo. Like, I heard like three different voices.
I hate it.
He's another guy who doesn't deserve a push anymore.
The New Day. They really need to. The New Day, I don't want to see them together anymore, but they really don't have any value if they're apart.
If anything this has taught me is that you need to put them all back together because all of them cannot function without each other. Yeah. But like they're all like, do you understand what I mean? Like I'm sick and tired of seeing the New Day, but at the same time, if you split them up, it's like splitting up the New Age Outlaws. Like you're. It's either you keep them together or you have two nothing. Like you have three nothings or you have one something.
Well, they have two nothings right now because Xavier and Kofi are together. So,
yeah, because it's only two of them. You got to put them all together. You got to put them all together. They just don't work without. They just don't work. Big E has never worked on his own. Do you when he was with Dolph, he was cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he was in New Day School, whenever he's by himself, he just doesn't work. I don't know what it is. He just doesn't work. This promo didn't work. He opens an issue. He issues an open challenge. Corbin comes out. Sami Zayn comes out. It's actually going to be Big E versus Sami Zayn. He hits the big ending for the win. Afterwards, Apollo Crews comes out, does his Nigerian accent. No spear this time. They tone that down, and then he just beats the crap out of Big E. I could care less.
I have to tell you, Apollo Crews did look impressive. I do think at the end of this, Apollo Crews is going to get more out of this than Big E. I think Apollo Crews is going to... He looks better than he ever has before.
I actually would say Apollo Crews is already getting more out of this than Big E.
I think also he's looking like he looks now like the whole thing. You can say the accent's racist and it's outdated, and I agree with that. But he looks like a champion now, whereas he didn't.
I think they're actually using Big E to push Apollo Crews. I think this is actually more about Apollo Crews than Big E. I think they're using Big E to get there.
I think they realize that these three guys are nothing without one another, but also it's like how long he keep them together. You know, it's like New Day was kind of like the best and worst thing to happen to those three guys.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's one of the best and worst things that ever happened to them. So Jax and Reg Thomas are in the back talking, and Reg suggests that she has a match with Sasha Banks next week. So it's going to be Nia Jax or Sasha Banks for a championship belt. Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, the final segment where they come out for a contract signing. The whole point of this is for Jey Uso and Edge. They both want to be special enforcer for the match at Fastlane. So Jey Uso and Edge are going to have a match next week to determine that, and then they all start fighting. I could care less about this segment. This is stupid.
I do like that there being a special enforcer. I kind of hope they go with a three-way match at WrestleMania, not Roman versus Edge. I think that's kind of boring. I feel like a special referee could lead it to like a three-way rather than just a straight-up match. So I'm kind of I do think this was a smart idea, and I do think, and you know what? Let's see if Edge brings in ratings next week. He hasn't had a match on SmackDown in 10 years. If Edge brings in ratings next week, then maybe, you know, okay, go with Edge as champ. But if nobody gives a fuck, then I would keep the belt on Roman or put on Daniel Bryan. So,
I'm gonna agree with you. I also think that if you make this a three-way match, it not only is it more interesting, I guarantee you it will be a better match.
Yeah, they really need to do something, dude. WrestleMania is 29 days away. And they're not doing anything to build to WrestleMania. It's kind of fucking missing. Maybe. I think they kind of just think people are going to show up because of Russell. Dude, you really need a match. And I don't know who you can get, but you need a match and you need it today that people are like, I don't give a fuck if I get sick. I need to see this match.
Yeah, I think you're right. They think they're banking on the fact that, people are dying to come to a live event. Because they haven't show up. It doesn't matter what the card is. They just want to come to a live event. I think that's what they're banking on. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be a good percentage of people who will just go just because, like, I was stuck at home for a year, you know? But
I think they think this year the fans coming back are the attraction.
Yes.
But I really do think everyone needs a match that people are like, holy fuck, I need to see that. Like either I'm willing to risk COVID to be there, or I'm definitely gonna be home watching. Like, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm so excited for this match.
I think the only match that would do that for me would probably be Brock versus Lashley.
Well, I hope they go for it.
Yeah. That or I don't know. Is there anything else?
CM Punk?
Yeah, if CM Punk came back, I would be like,
if Vince is not on the phone with Punk, Lesnar, and even Undertaker, I hate to say it, like, even Undertaker can't do it.
Undertaker.
You need something, bro. Like, this card looks ass.
What if you did Lashley versus Ryback? Like, Ryback came back. No. Who else is a free agent?
Lashley versus Braun Strowman. Only if Ryback won, though.
Wait, Lashley versus Braun Strowman?
No, I'm sorry. Braun Strowman versus Ryback. Only if Ryback won. That's not that. Nobody gives a shit about Ryback. I think it needs to be CM Punk, Undertaker, or Brock Lesnar.
Or Walter. Else like a free agent right now that would like. No, there's got to be somebody else open.
I don't know.
No, Nick Aldis wouldn't do anything.
No, Nick Aldis versus Bobby Lashley. Nick Aldis.
Anybody they fired that's still not hired?
Like Eric Rowan versus Drew, like who's Eric? I mean, come on, like no. I mean Jay White if they could get him.
No, he's definitely not free. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's either Lashley, CM Punk. Yeah, maybe. I see. I'm not even interested in another Undertaker match. I'm not.
Okay, Triple H, AJ Styles. I know there's rumors they should do what they can to make that match happen. That's the only Triple H match I give a shit about.
Yeah, that's still.
I guess Batista. They need something, dude. They don't have anything. You need maybe Walter versus Bobby Lashley.
Oh, what if Ronda came back?
Yes, Ronda Becky Lynch. That's the match I would do.
Okay, what if you can't do Becky Lynch? Like Ronda versus like Asuka?
Would
you do
Ronda versus Charlotte? No, Asuka might be out with a concussion. Ronda versus Charlotte, then.
But if she's not out with a concussion,
I would do Ronda versus Asuka.
What I'm saying is, if you did Ronda versus Asuka, would that interest you? Let's just say like she's
fine. Yes, that would interest me. Yes.
Okay. What if they did Ronda versus Shayna Baszler?
That would interest me, but they won't do that. That would interest me.
Yeah, so we have Ronda's.
Also, Ronda versus Rhea Ripley would be interesting.
Yeah. Ronda versus almost anybody, really, at this point, right?
I mean, Ronda versus Bayley would be cool, actually. So Ronda, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, or they can't get Cena, or Undertaker in my book.
Actually, I don't even know Undertaker. Becky Lynch.
Or Becky Lynch.
If they were like, Becky, it's been like a year. Can you just come back for this match? I think that would entice people.
If they said like Asuka's giving up the belt because of her concussion and Charlotte is going to fight someone for the belt and then it was Ronda and she like broke Charlotte's arm and screamed, I want a Fastlane. Let's say this all happens at Fastlane. And Ronda was like, I want fucking Becky at Mania. And you don't know if Becky's going to like, this is what I would do. I would not show Becky Lynch on camera. I would have Seth Rollins be like, Becky takes the match and just have Ronda destroy people on Raw for a few weeks. And the first time anyone can see Becky Lynch in person is at Mania when she walks out. Yeah. And I think if you did that, if you somehow had Ronda get the belt and be like, I don't give a fuck about anyone. My contract expires in May. I want fucking Becky Lynch before I leave. Fuck that bitch. Fuck her and her stupid fucking kid. And Becky Lynch. You can't have Becky Lynch walk out on Raw and cut a promo to like fake noise. You've got to have Becky. You've got to just have Becky answer the challenge without showing her. And then when Becky Lynch walks out at Mania, that fucking crowd will go insane. And that's something I think people would want. You can main event night two.
And they should even do the thing where Ronda just stands in the ring. It's like pacing back and forth, getting ready. And there's a countdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like when Becky Lynch is coming, when it counts down, like sparklers go off, right? Guarantee you, four and a half stars.
Dave Meltzer loved that fucking dude. How could you give that match anything above 3 stars? As beyond,
dude, I saw that he gave the Casino Battle Royale match 4 stars, and I was just I was like, this guy is such like, I can't.
It used to be like pulling teeth for him to give any WWE match 4 stars, and these are like some of the best matches ever made, ever done. And he won't
you talk
he,
about him. You talk he about
just the gives guy them out lost. Like candy.
Yeah, he's lost it now at his age. He's lost.
Let's
it.
Go to 205 Live.
205 Live. Ever Rise is on commentary for a first match. It is Bollywood Boys versus Kurt Stallion and Mansoor. Now, last week we didn't review 205. And there was actually a really good match on it, too. It was Kurt Stallion versus Mansoor.
Mm-hmm.
And Mansoor won, but it was actually a really good match. These guys already had a match. And now they're doing this reverse thing, like where they're doing that thing where like, oh, they had a match, but now they're tag teaming, you know, like, but they're not like, they're not like totally into the tag team. They're like, you know, like a makeshift tag team that doesn't like each other. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Because he already won, and there's no titles on the line. There's nothing. There's no titles to be won either. But Kurt Stallion and Mansoor win after Kurt Stallion headbutts one of the Bollywood boys, but then he pins the other one, which is weird. Then comes the important part. They do a recap of NXT where Jordan Devlin is recording himself going like, hey, I heard NXT is having this really big event. They're having a two-nighter NXT takeover, and like, I'm going to be there. So he's coming to America to probably going to be Cruiserweight champion versus Cruiserweight champion. Versus Santos Escobar. Who do you think walks away champion? Devlin or Santos Escobar?
I would have Santos, but they'll probably have Devlin because they love people who sexually assault women. So
yeah. I think with all the bad press that followed Devlin and stuff, I think you would have to go with Santos, but I agree with you. I guarantee they're going to just go with Devlin, you know? But yeah. I'm looking forward to that match. They've been building to this match for a year. this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's good they're finally doing it.
Yeah. We go to match number two. It's a return match.
Actually, you know why I think they're going to go with Jordan? Also because Trent Seven.
Yes, that storyline. Because that would be pretty stupid if he wants to win. He's not doing it. But we're going to do match number two. It is August Gray versus Daivari. August Gray gets his feet on the rope for the win. I could care less.
205 Live is like almost a parody. It's really ridiculous. Dude, here's the big problem with WWE. So Mansoor is undefeated. But like, he's going nowhere. Like, if you had a guy who was undefeated for almost like what, a year and a half, wouldn't you be like, oh, we should put you on like SmackDown or Raw? Because you seemingly can't be beaten on this.
Like Tatanka.
What?
Remember Tatanka?
Tatanka was on the main show, but like he got Intercontinental title matches. Why is Mansoor not being promoted? Apparently this guy cannot be beat. But if he's undefeated, what good is it? He might as well just like fucking lay down the ring next week and be like, well, this doesn't do anything for me anyway.
Yeah,
I'm still don't fucking pin me.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Apparently, he's the greatest wrestler in the company right now. But like this show is such. They're not even putting any effort into this show. You cannot tell me they're. And what was weird was that they put so much effort for like 3 weeks where this was a great show, and then they were just like, "Fuck it!" And they, dude, this is even the best of shows where they show like Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior on this fucking thing had more effort than this shit that we're watching right now.
I think they're legit just holding this for that Evolve show.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. And I think the reason why that Evolve show is not coming out is because I think they're holding it for Peacock.
Yes.
Yeah.
They want to make it like you have to get Peacock to see this.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I bet you all those Evolve shows will not be on Peacock.
They said everything. Look, here's the thing. A lot of people think the archives are not being transferred over to Peacock. WWE, I don't know if you saw this, WWE announcement that all the archives, it's going to take a while, but everything should be back up by SummerSlam. And they're like, no. Here's my thing, if I'm NBC. I'm paying $1 billion for content. So why would I not want if I'm NBC and by SummerSlam, like there's like, I mean, no episodes of primetime wrestling. I'd be like, hey, on the app, you had all these primetime wrestling shows where, Oh yeah. Like we pay you $1 billion. We want everything. I don't the Evolve shows, everything on fucking Peacock. Dude, yeah. $1 billion. Like, do you really think they paid $1 billion to have like 5 episodes of Raw on their fucking app?
No, I agree with you. I think they should get everything, but they're already like that feature is being taken away where you
I know, but it's all about content. They're paying for content.
Yeah. Yeah, and they said like all the content's not going to be on. I'm like, ugh, I feel like they're.
I think. I just think it's gonna because the deal. they want to get it on Peacock by summer, by WrestleMania. I think Peacock, I think the NBC guys are like, we need to have this. We need to have WrestleMania only on Peacock because we need Peacock to have subscribers. They're like, what about the archives? And they're like, just take your time in the archives, but have it up. I like the next big show, which is SummerSlam.
I feel like NBC doesn't understand the importance of that, those things, or they don't think it is important.
No, I think they do. No, I think they do because, dude, like, they want those hours of content. That's what gets people to subscribe. Is, and so I think they're gonna want it. Like,
I hope, dude, nobody, I hope you're right. Peacock. I hope you're right, because if they don't, I don't.
We'll find out by SummerSlam.
Yeah,
because. Dude, that's the thing. The hours of content to watch are what. Why would you give, if I gave WWE $1 billion and by SummerSlam, they're missing even an episode of like fucking Mid-South Wrestling, I'd be like, I paid you $1 billion. I want every fucking thing on this app tomorrow.
Yeah, but yeah, you would say that would be a dumb idea, a dumb thing to not have that. But also buying the WWE network was pretty dumb.
That was pretty fucking dumb.
Yeah, so I wouldn't put it past them to make another dumb move. But what was not dumb was this NXT UK. This was some good shit too. Here's the thing. This was probably the least interesting episode of NXT UK I've watched since they came back. And it was still probably the best show this week.
Yeah, you know, I know, right?
It's insane.
Oh, what do you think by way of Christian getting a title shot right away? I think that's fucking hard.
I don't know if he's getting a, see, I just, because we weren't reviewing it, I just like fast forward the part where they had to face off. It was, I really felt like I was watching, Impact, like, I mean, TNA. I felt like I was watching
me too. It's like the WWE guy shows up, hasn't wrestled in 7 years. You do also, we have rankings. We have this, that, and the third. WWE guy shows up as wrestling 7 years, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, he can have a title shot.
Yeah, but and just like the way he showed up too, it's not like it wasn't like Sting. He just like here's our newest signee, comes out and just that, and then even to that one, he just comes out and just kind of stares off. Like, I was just like, he's got his old TNA music. I really felt like I was watching TNA. I was just like, this was,
yeah. I think AEW's headed up in a bad direction, but you wouldn't know that from Big Daddy Meltz or any of these.
I remember what I said. Let's see how true I am. I really thought,
dude,
Sunday
the
was
fucking,
jumping the shark.
The comment. Reporters and like the wrestling, the people that have influence in the scene, like the Meltzer, went after that girl that didn't like AEW. And I know you don't think she's that funny. I don't think she's that funny either. But you know the only reason they're going after her is because she doesn't like AEW.
Yeah. Wait, what else did she say that was so bad?
To her? Yeah. She made fun of Brody Lee's death. And apparently she had like a transphobic comment. No one showed it, but that's what people kept saying. But also she was like AEW. So that's why. I mean, that's really new right now.
Yeah. By the way, did you hear about do you know about the ending of AEW?
Yeah. Sean Spears should not be in that. I don't give a shit if Sean Spears is there. That's fucking stupid. That's a fucking waste of a spot.
I liked it,
but why is Sean Spears there?
But if the more you think about it, even though I like it, it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they explain it because it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why would you be in this group for that long if you were just going to, like, create your own group? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, why don't you just create a... it'd be one thing if he caused like Jericho to like beat the shit out of Sammy Guerrero or Sammy Guevara to like cripple Chris Jericho or something insane, and then he breaks the group up to be like, oh, look what I did. But like, they really didn't do anything to each other.
And why would you be trying to like take leadership of the group if you were creating your own group anyway? Like, I just don't get it. I mean, I still liked it, but I was like, it doesn't really make any sense. It really does.
No, and also, I don't understand why. Oh, by the way, did you see the card for Elevation on Monday? I'm glad we're not recovering it. Do you see the card? It's going to go into Raw.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Raw's a bad show.
Dude, can I fucking tell you? Why is he bringing in so many fucking people if he can't get over half this fucking roster? It's just becoming bloated, these fucking shows. Like, why?
Because this is his playground.
I know, but it's like, dude, it's like
these are his action figures.
It's really bloated, and they don't do anything to introduce anybody. They're just like, oh, you're a wrestling fan, you have Twitter and Reddit, you should know who this person is. And they're gonna be on Dark Elevation now. It's like,
so it seems like Dark Elevation is like
all just more dark.
But like more
competitive.
Not like, yeah, more competitive matches instead of more.
But why they have like, so many fucking matches? Dude, just make it an hour long so people can watch it before Raw. You don't need to make it this fucking long.
Yeah, I think they're doing it because they're just like trying to like do the, hey, we're subtly making jab. I'm like, all right, guys. Yeah. It's another brass ring. It's like, I roll my eyes at this.
All right, let's move to the fucking.
All right. Dave Mastiff versus Tyler Bate in a Heritage Cup a British rounds. Tyler Bate gets around the first, gets a pin in the first, second round. Dave Mastiff gets a pin in the third round. Tyler Bate hits like a corkscrew senton on Dave Mastiff for the pin in the fifth round for him to win. This is all right. This was actually one of the worst Heritage Cup.
I told you before, and I know you don't. Yeah. I don't like the Heritage Cup matches. I think the rules are stupid. It takes me out of it.
Yeah.
This was okay, but it just really. I don't think it works. If I was Vince, I would pull. I don't think Vince even watches this fucking show.
No, I don't think he watches.
I don't think anyone. It's weird. Nobody watches the show. This show is fucking great. But I would be like, enough of the Heritage Cup. Drop it.
If people don't watch the show, they're.
Dude, it's weird to me how like these fucking wrestling fans who jack off to everything don't watch this show. And it's like, why is this the show you're not watching?
Yeah.
It's weird, especially if you're a work rate fucking New Japan nerd, you don't watch. It's like, why the fuck wouldn't you watch this show, dude?
Because they only like things that are popular.
That melts
that other people, yeah, watch. It's stupid. Then we get a video package for the tag team match that later tonight of Amir Jordan, Kenny Williams, and versus the South Wales subculture guys. Then we get a Eva Valkyrie video package. Then we go to match number two, Danny Jones versus the debuting Teal Man. Teal Man hits crossface for the win. I was not impressed with this debut match. But you know who else's debut match was not impressive? Ilya Dragunov. His debut
match. Yeah, so this could go somewhere.
Exactly. So I was like, yeah, I could go somewhere. Then they do a Nina Samuels, Zaya Brookside segment where Nina Samuels is supposed to be her servant. And Nina comes over. She goes, what did you want? And she's like, oh, I want you to, you know, clean my house. She goes, oh, don't you have housekeeping? He's like, yeah, I gave her a day off. You got to clean my house. But it's not really that messy. And the whole point was that she had to hand wash dishes. And then she saw that she had a dishwasher the whole time. Even though the segment wasn't that good, it's already like 10 times better than that. That what AEW was trying to do with the fucking Chuck Taylor. It's already better. Because it made sense. This actually makes sense. It just...
Yeah, bro. Literally.
Then we get a good video package where a couple of weeks ago, Eddie Dennis had to fight because Wild Boar was missing in this street fight. And Eddie Dennis is now, he's basically reprimanding Wild Boar. And he's like, because of you, I had to get my ass kicked. And not only me, Primate got his ass kicked. And I think you've used up all your usefulness. And looks like it was Tyson T-Bone and Primate, like, I guess killed Wild Boar. I don't know if they killed him or not. I hope he's just out of the group, but I like this segment a lot. It made a lot of, it just kept continuity from what happened from a couple of weeks ago. And you needed to break these two guys up. They were just too tiny. You know?
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, I really liked it. At least you have Primate, who's a small guy, teamed up with like a pretty big guy. It'll just be better visual. Then we get a video package for Amel, the first French WWE superstar. I think she will be a big player one day. I really think so. She's just got the look, got everything. Yeah, we'll see. Then we get, in my opinion, this was a very, very, very interesting video package. Not a video package, segment. They show that they're at the La Cala Bar, which is like a, it's like a billiard hall. And this is the first wrestling show that showed these COVID signs of like, keep your social distancing, wear your mask, and before you enter premises, you know? This is an establishment. This is an actual bar. And they showed these signs like, hey, there's social distancing. You can't come in if you're this and that. And then we go in and it's a completely empty except for Gallus. They're playing pool and they're talking about how they're no longer on top. None of these guys have titles now. Like, we got to get back on top. I really like this. This is completely different. Not even AEW's event, where they're showing like real world shit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you see on SmackDown they had a thing to please get the vaccine?
That what?
Did you see on SmackDown they had a thing that to ask people please get the vaccine?
No. When did they do that?
During one of the commercial breaks, they had a segment where they're like, you all need to get the vaccine. Please get the vaccine.
Well, if they offered it to me, I'll take it, but they ain't offering it to me.
Well, they're just saying, go look in. They gave you a website that you can look into getting an appointment. So,
there you go. Oh, wait, we have to set it up ourselves?
Yeah. What do you think? Someone going to come to your house and gives it to you?
I thought they would contact me and they'd be like, hey, don't you want to get a vaccine? All right.
Yeah, that's why Rhea Ripley's not around. She's calling everyone to get the vaccine. Hey, it's me, Rhea Ripley.
Well, how the hell am I supposed to know that, like, I can get it now? Like, they never said, like I thought it was, like, you have to be a certain qualified.
People are just going to the website and getting it, so.
Oh, well, then I'll just go to the website and fine, yeah. Then we get match number 3. It is Kenny Williams, Amir Jordan versus Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. They do this thing where Kenny Williams is slowly turning heel. He low blows Webster and it hits a reverse DDT on him for a win. Amir Jordan saw this. He is not happy. It's the second week in a row where he's done something dastardly. This time it's even more dastardly. I like the subtle heel turn with Kenny Williams.
Yeah, this is good. I'm glad they did something like this.
Kenny Williams is like, I think, real life good friends with Noam Dar. They're both Scottish, and I think they even were in a tag team together. I wouldn't be surprised if Kenny turns heel and they become a tag team.
Yeah, that'd be good, Andrew. Yeah,
that would actually be good. Then we get a Dragunov video package where he's going crazy. I didn't like this.
Yes.
This is a stupid storyline, but, you know, whatever. Then comes Trent Seven. Video package on him doing the weigh-in, and he's super excited because they're gonna do the weigh-in on the bump. That's like the WWE show, right? The talk show.
Yeah, the Wednesday morning show. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they told Molly Holly. She's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that they're putting this in the bump. I thought that was really.
Well, they gotta do something. I don't understand why anyone would watch this fucking thing. It's basically, it's like a 90-minute version of the pre-show, but there's no pre-show. Like, who is watching the fucking bump? You know what I mean? And it's only on Wednesday mornings, which is such a weird time to do. So it's good they're doing stuff like this, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's like, by doing stuff like this, you're actually acknowledging this show exists, you know? Like,
So. Like Molly Holly. Yeah, I think it's good to do little things like this or the weigh-in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because otherwise it's like, why do you need this fucking thing?
And this is
especially when they had the show at CM Punk. It's like, why do you need two shows like this?
Yeah. I thought this was a good video package. They show that Tyler Bate was helping him train and he's super excited. It's good. Then we get a video package of Ben Carter, who's now changed his name to Nathan Fraser. Ah. Dude, you know this is not his decision. It's just like, they were like, that's your name, Ben Carter. We can't own the rights to that. So, we want you to change your name to something we can own. That's a terrible name, Nathan Fraser.
That's his name now, so you better get used to it. I'll be arrested.
Walter will be speaking next week, and then we're going to match number 4, Ginny and Joseph Connors, who is out with new gear because he is now with a fashionista, which all makes sense. Of course he's going to get new gear. He's with a fashionista. Totally makes sense. And versus Piper Niven and Jack Starrs. This is the first gender tag team match in NXT UK. Piper Niven hits the Piper Driver on Joseph Connors, and then she throws Jack Starrs onto Joseph Connors for the win. I thought, like, I didn't like this because they did this all in front of the referee, and the referee didn't, like, stop it, because I thought, like, intergender, you're not supposed to be, like, hitting each other if you're opposite sex.
Yeah, they didn't care.
Yeah, I know. That part was kind of stupid, but it wasn't a bad match. I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah, you know what was bad? Her fucking hair.
Oh, my God, dude.
What is she doing to herself?
I have no idea, dude. She's trying to, I don't know if she's trying to be cute, but it's just
dude, like, that's a neon sign to Vince McMahon to never push me.
Yeah, I agree.
What are you doing? She looks fucking, when she just has her hair down, she looks fucking great. She's doing this goofy. I've seen her Instagram. She's kind of a goofy person in real life. That's fine. But don't fucking be goofy on TV, bro.
No. Leave that to the Joshi.
Dude, you're gonna be fucking coddling Reginald in a year or two. Yeah. And they're gonna be people and screaming, Mahal! Like, that's what's gonna happen to you, lady.
I will say this is some of the best stuff Joseph Connors is in. So yeah. Good for him. It's finally being used properly. Watch NXT UK, guys. This is probably the best show.
It was the best show of the week by far of the shows I watched.
It's the best show. It was the best show Revolution. Of January. It was the best show of February. And it's already the best show of March so far. It's going to be the best show of the year. It's going in. At least the first quarter, it's 100%. Watch the show.
All right. So, guys, we'll be back not tomorrow night, but we are going to cover our good friends at Impact Wrestling. We're going to cover is it called Sacrifice tomorrow night? We don't even know at this
point. I don't even know. I think you're right. I think it's Sacrifice. Yeah.
We're going to cover that. And then we'll let you know, there's more and more stand-up happening. I don't know if we're going to be here a lot like we used to, but you know what? When we have nothing to do, we'll cover wrestling, right?
Yep. I got to get my vaccine.
Yeah. All right. We will see you on Sunday for, I guess, what the fuck they call it. The Moose and Rich Swann match. That's the main reason why we're coming in, because it's going to have big implications for AEW. All right, guys. We'll see you then.
Bye.